Okay, tonight's message is entitled Faith and Big Decisions. And as we've been talking about relationships over the past few weeks, and even before that, we were talking about what it means to be in the family of God. And the first session of that series, we talked about when we came into the kingdom of God, we really died. And our lives are now no longer our own, but that now we belong to Christ. And we talked about that it's no longer us who live, but it's now Christ living out His life through us. And as much as the as that is so true, I think that probably most of us struggle with submitting, especially the big decisions of our lives, to the Lord, and letting Him truly be Lord, letting Him truly take the helm, if you will, Jesus take the wheel, to be able to lead us and to show us the life that He wants us living, instead of us just doing kind of whatever it is that we want, and then pretending that we're walking in obedience, and so. Part of it, I think, is that there's a bit of, no, I'm still my own. I still belong to myself. I can do whatever I want. You can't tell me anything. I'm in charge. I think that there's probably a bit of that. But I think there's also just the reality of a lot of times we just flat don't know what in the world does the Lord want. I mean, what are we supposed to do? We come to the crossroads and we've got to make a decision and we do not feel capable to make the decision. Well, I hope to be able to touch on some of that tonight. Obviously, we all have big decisions that we have to make. Things like large purchases, cars, houses, those kinds of things. Trying to figure out, even where you're going to live. Where do you move to another city? Do you take a job in another city? Do you change jobs from one job to another job? What church do you be involved in? What ministries do you be involved in? Do you start a business? Do you start a ministry? Do you go to college? If you go to college, what are you supposed to study? I mean, all these questions are impacting all of us in the room, at this point. Who do you marry? Do you marry? I mean, we got a lot of these questions that are big decisions in our lives that the Lord is the Lord of those decisions. And what we want to do is we want to journey through the scripture, what it is that the biblical counsel of how to come to decisions is, that we wouldn't find ourselves just making whatever decision feels like a good idea, but that we would actually have those big decisions as well as little ones, but the big ones are like, they mark you. The big decisions, if you decide you're going to move across the country, that changes everything. If you decide you're going to change jobs, that changes a lot, your finances. And, if you're going to, get married or get married to this person or that person, I mean, there's some big decisions that really impact our lives. And what we want to do is we want to approach those things from what the Word, has to say. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. But they were praised because they walked a life where they were believing for things that they couldn't see. They felt like the Lord was speaking to them about decisions they were supposed to make. They felt like the Lord was giving them direction and leadership. And then they took crazy steps of faith. We want to be a people who make our decisions according to the leading of the Lord, according to the direction that the Lord gives, according to His counsel, so that we can take our steps as steps of faith instead of having to do, think about this punishment. This is like cruelty. Instead of having to make our decisions like the lost world does. Just, it looks like a good idea to me. What do you think? Yeah, I guess so. Let's do it. I mean, that's painful. I mean, let's not downgrade ourselves to the lost world where they don't have the Holy Spirit to lead them. They don't have the counsel of God to make their decisions. And so they just kind of make decisions based off of whatever their whim and their feelings are. We've got the counsel of the Lord. Let's make our decisions according to faith and take the steps that the Lord would lead. So my approach in this teaching tonight is to pretend, because we've probably all come from different backgrounds on this, how to make decisions, what methodology you currently use when it comes to decision time. Do you flip a coin? I mean, it's like we probably all come from different perspectives. And so my plan is to pretend that nobody knows nothing and let's just start from scratch. Let's just go to the Word and let's just start from scratch and start looking at some simple principles in order to be able to come up with a strategy for decision making. I can tell you, I'd probably run the gambit on this one. I've made some dumb decisions. I've made some pretty good ones. I've made some ones where I felt like the Lord was leading really strong. I've made some decisions where I just kind of had the gentle leading of the Lord. I wasn't quite sure. It was really one of those faith moments, but kind of felt the gentle leading. Had times where I've, you know, done it well, done it bad. Every version of this. And so I feel very qualified to be able to talk about this because I feel like I've covered all the bases, good and bad. So here's some takeaways that I want to kind of have you leave with tonight. My hope is that as a result of this teaching, if you're going like, why are we talking about this? Here are my two hopes. One, that you'd be able to make balanced decisions about difficult issues. Difficult, not that the circumstance is so bad, but difficult like it has a great impact on your life and it's really an important decision, that kind of thing. The second is to know how to carry our hearts in the process. So one, to be able to make balanced decisions, difficult ones, and then two, to be able to know how to carry our hearts. That's my hope. All right. The check and balance system, I just kind of made that up, but I think it's apt. I think that the Word of God actually gives us not one, but multiple ways that when we kind of put it all together, it creates a check and balance system, kind of like what's supposed to be happening in our American government, where one branch is supposed to check and balance the other to make sure that nobody kind of gets running away with themselves. And the concept is, I think that the Word of God has given us multiple different approaches to our decision making, that when we kind of look at all of them and we kind of go down the list and check, I think that there's safety in the way that the Word presents how we make our big decisions. I don't think that the Word actually just prescribes one way. In fact, I think that people who operate according to that wind up out of balance, in all honesty. And so what I want to do is I want to present what I believe to be the Scripture's presentation on some checks and some balances so that we can make sure that in our decision-making process, especially on the big ones, that we've got some balance so that we don't wind up in a bad spot. So the first, according to righteousness. This is a real simple one, but it's one that we don't ever want to neglect, because if we say that we died and that now we are in Christ, and that Christ is now the one who's making decisions for our life, that we're now no longer our own, but we were bought at a heavy price, the blood of Christ. If we say that, then we need to make our decisions according to righteousness. So we would never make a decision that's totally off and totally unrighteous. Like, throw those ideas out. That's not God. Don't make those decisions. It's a real good starting point. I'll tell you what, if most of us would just pay attention to that one very point, we'd probably be in a good spot in the church. I think most of you guys are doing a pretty good job with that. But I just I see some of the ways that some people that I know that claim to know the Lord and claim to love the Lord make their decisions. And some of the decisions that they make are totally outside of righteousness. And it's just not the Lord. It's not healthy. It's not good. It winds up putting you in a place that's very much outside of what the Lord's desires are for you. And again, the whole purpose, what we talked about a few weeks ago in the message regarding being brought into the family of God, is God brought us into His family not so He could give us a bunch of rules and mistreat us, but so that we could actually have the best possible existence that could ever be thought up, because it's the wisest man who's ever lived who's in charge of that game plan and that strategy. So He is not going to come up with bad plans, bad rules, bad ideas, bad systems, bad structures. They're actually going to be perfectly wise, and it's going to create the absolute best scenario for us in this life. And so if we can trust the fact that when we were brought into the kingdom, we were brought into the household of the wisest man who's ever come to be, and that it's His ideas and His counsel that we want to submit to. Well, His ideas and His counsel include righteousness. And so some little simple pieces of what do I mean by making our decisions according to righteousness. We want to make our decisions that honor and value the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, we want to be making decisions that are in that flow, not anger, resentment, hatred, malice. I mean, it's like, don't make those decisions. Those aren't going to help you. So we want to make our decisions according to the standard that the Word gives us about righteousness. And I just think of the fruit of the Spirit as a really good spot to start, as, wow, what is, why am I making this decision? What is this kind of stemming from? So we're to avoid greed and envy and strife and all those different things. So if you find yourself in the middle of decision making and you're thinking about, I'm going to do this because I'm so greedy, just go ahead and rethink that one and give that one a second thought. Because the part of the check and balance system on all this stuff, if you totally go against the counsel of the scripture, you're just going to wind up in a spot that's not good for you. And you're going to wind up with unneeded pain. Pain that's just not necessary. It's totally unnecessary. Andy was talking about being a satisfied customer of prayer meetings. I'll tell you what, I'm a satisfied customer of submission. Submitting to what the Lord says, do this, don't do this. Oh, when I've submitted and just said, okay, Lord. My life has gone so much smoother. It's not that there's never been any problems. It's not that I've never faced any difficulties. But I'll tell you what, the overall is a journey of joy in the Lord. And I just so want that, not just for me, but for us as the people of God, that we would be those that are able to say over decades, as we start looking in our rearview mirror and seeing years turn into decades, man, the favor of the Lord has been on my life because I've learned to make my decisions in submission to what the Lord wants for me, in submission to the counsel of the scripture, instead of just at whatever my, will might be at the moment. Don't be at the tyranny of the urgent or the tyranny of your emotions. Second piece is using conventional wisdom. There's a lot of times that the Lord instructs us to do some crazy things. I can remember several of those steps in my journey that I really went through, this process of trying to do these checks and balances and sought counsel, got a lot of different, people's opinions on stuff in order to be able to come to godly decisions. There are times when the Lord does speak to you to do something that seems a bit irrational, but not all the time, not even most of the time. Most of the time, conventional wisdom is really helpful. Conventional wisdom says things like, don't quit one job until you have another job. I mean, you need income, so don't quit the job that you're in until you got the next one lined up, because then how are you going to eat this next month? Don't buy a car or a house you can't afford. That's just conventional wisdom. I mean, you don't even need the Bible on that one. Don't buy stuff you can't afford. Don't put yourself in a position that, strains you financially to a point where, you're stressed and freaked out. Don't court someone who's on a very different page from you and the direction that you're headed. We talked a little bit about that in a previous, a session about not being unequally yoked, and not just don't date a lost person. For sure, if you love Jesus, don't date a lost person. But even a person that's on a very different direction, a different path, I mean, where they're totally incongruent, don't do that. I mean, that's just the lost counselors will tell you that. Don't date somebody who's got a completely different strategy for the way that they're going to live and direction that they're going to go, and then is congruent to the way that you're headed. And then lastly, this is a helpful one, and this is kind of, I don't know whether this is conventional wisdom or going against conventional wisdom, but don't do something just because that's what everybody else is doing. I can remember, getting out of high school, and I felt the Lord really speaking to me about what I was supposed to do about my education, but I just couldn't handle it, man. All I wanted to do was what everybody else was doing, and so I just signed up for stuff because that's what everybody was doing. Wrong answer. That the Lord has got a strategy for us that we wouldn't just go with the flow, that we wouldn't just, hey, well, if this is what everybody's doing, I guess it's what I'm going to do. Like, get some leadership, get some direction. Don't just go with the crowd. All right, third check and balance, biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom would tell us things like, don't take a job that requires things from you that are unhealthy for you spiritually. Don't put yourself in a position that is going to create dynamics that are very unhealthy for you and your spiritual walk. Truth of the matter is, when you graduate and go upstairs and you stand before the Lord, He's not going to really care so much what job you had. He is going to care and have some questions for you about how alive your heart was while you were on the planet. He's going to have some questions for you about, did you learn to love people? Oh no, I'm sorry, I couldn't love people. I was so hindered by this job that I took on that took so much energy from me, so much effort, so much strength, so much time, so much. I mean, I was so busy doing that I couldn't really learn to love people, and I didn't really ever learn to love you either, Jesus. Yeah, bad answer. So biblical wisdom would tell us, don't take a job that's going to require things from you that are unhealthy. Not just your time, but maybe even moral compromise. Maybe a lot of those different pieces. But don't put yourself in a position that's going to require you to become unhealthy spiritually. Next, make your marriage considerations based primarily off of character and not outward appearance. You know, I've been, common to quote that all the supermodels cheat on each other. Oh my goodness. That all the supermodels cheat on each other. And so, you know, it's like, wow, all these, people who are in, celebrity world and in the media and everything, and it seems like, man, they've got the perfect life. They get together and they shack up for a little while and then they cheat on each other and go to the next deal. It's like, okay, well, so then maybe being the most extremely good-looking person in the world really isn't the end-all, the saving grace. And neither is marrying that person or courting that person. You want to base your marriage considerations primarily off of character, not primarily off of appearance. I appreciate attraction, but I'll tell you, you need character way over any and everything else. Very, very important piece there. Another piece. Don't move away and put yourself in situations that leave you not having godly community. Putting yourself in a situation where you wind up totally removed from having godly fellowship. You know, the Lord, when we were talking about in the series, talking about the issue of being brought into the kingdom of God, being brought into the family of believers, and the greatest blessing in the world that now we've got brothers and sisters in Christ to run with. We've got close relationships to help us and to encourage us and to strengthen us and to build us up and to be there for us. And as we have that, don't put yourself under a curse of removing yourself from that and then, not having any strategies. You wind up creating undue problems for yourself. So that's just another piece of biblical wisdom, is not removing yourself from godly community. Especially not without a plant to go into. You know, the Lord can totally speak to you and go, hey, move from this city to this city. There's this godly group you're supposed to connect with. You're supposed to serve here, be involved there. But I always tell people, commute to work, even if it's across the country. Live with your community. You know, and I've known some people who have actually done that, where they will commute to work in another state in order to be able to stay with godly community, because that's your family, that's your strength, that's how you you run the race long term. Okay, the next piece in this check and balance system is assessing our motives. You know, part of our journey is discerning our own hearts. It's the verse in Jeremiah 17. If you guys have got your Bible and you want to turn there, Jeremiah 17, I think we'll also have it up on the overhead. It's talking about the motives of the heart. And it's speaking about the incredible way that our hearts are this untamed, this capacity for total wickedness. I mean, even the heart that loves Jesus, our hearts are just so flaky. And we can't really trust our hearts in so many different ways. And so Jeremiah 17, 9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's beyond cure." Ooh. Who can understand the heart? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. You know, here's a great way to just kind of rule to live by. Fake it till you make it. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful concept, because what you'll wind up doing is, if you wind up responding, making decisions, doing based off of how you feel, you will be a witch. You will be evil to everyone, because sometimes your emotions are on total tilt and you're in just a really bad place. You'll be an ogre. So you can't make your decisions about what you're going to do, what you're going to say, how you're going to interact with people based off of how you're feeling today. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? It's incurable. Fake it till you make it. You don't feel like being nice? Be nice anyway. You don't feel like, doing that? Do it anyway. You don't feel like being faithful? Be faithful anyway. You can't go off of your heart, because your heart is this dartboard that the enemy is constantly throwing darts at. I mean, your heart is on a little dartboard in front of the enemy, along with everybody else's, and he's got him and all his minions, and they're throwing poison darts at your heart all day. It may not hit you today, it'll hit your neighbor. But your heart is on a dartboard, and when that dart hits you, it causes you to think bad things, feel bad things. I mean, it happens to me all the time. I can't tell you how many times I'll get done preaching and I feel totally disgusting. Disgusting. Like I have to go pray condemnation off myself. You didn't preach right. You led them astray. You spoke the word wrong. You misquoted that one thing. I mean, I feel the condemnation of the enemy. I'm like, I just got done preaching the Bible. Like, what is going on? And I go, and it's because I'm up there on that dartboard, and the enemy's throwing those darts of accusation. Now, if I go off of how I feel, I won't preach next week. Well, that's no good. So you can't make your decisions just based off of how you feel, because the heart is evil. It's just, it is a mystery. There is, it's incurable. And so you've got to instead make your decisions off of what you know is right, what you know is true, what you know is stable. And that's how we make our decisions, not based off of our emotions, because your emotions will get you in a messy place quick. Okay, the power of time. Time is such a check and balance. I love this. When you're talking about the big decisions, there is this beautiful thing that happens with a little bit of time. You get clarity. When I say time, I don't mean a day. I mean weeks or months. You get a little bit of time under your belt about a decision, and all of a sudden that decision, the fog lifts. You know, in the moment, you're freaked out. You're like, well, what do I do about this? Am I gonna take this job offer? Am I gonna, you know, move across the country? Am I gonna join this thing? Am I gonna do this thing? And you kind of get all flustered, because remember the whole heart thing? You give that just a little bit of time, you get some clarity. It's amazing. And one of the things that has been so kind of sobering for me as I've been kind of thinking about this very topic for a number of years is how many decisions seemed so urgent. And I waited a little while and the urgency just disappeared. And I made the decision, like, with sober thinking after just a little bit of time. It's amazing. It's like the enemy is waiting to, like, light a fire under all your decisions. And so, oh, I got to make it right now. Why? Because. Give me a good because. It's like, yeah, exactly. Just wait it out. Just give it a minute. There are so many decisions that I think we have the tendency to make out of urgency, and we'll make them wrong. Just give it a little bit of time. This is a great check and balance system. If you're uncertain, don't make that decision. Just wait. Wait. You know, part of, I think, what we do is we take the role of sovereign away from God, and we try to hold it in our hand when it's decision-making time, as though God is shocked. Like, the decision you're supposed to make this week, he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, how'd that happen? Where did that come from? Wow, you're in a pickle, friend. What are you going to do? I mean, it's like as though the Lord could be shocked. And so we feel like we've got this responsibility. Well, I've got to make a good decision. I've got to make it right now. Yeah, see, God's still God. He's still on the throne. He's not wigged out. He knows that it's there. And here's the truth of the matter that really, if we'll buy into this statement, it'll give you so much peace in the midst of a storm. God wants you to make better decisions than you want to make. It's more important to God that you're on God's plan than it is to you. And it's super important to you. You're like, you know, in despair, and you're going, God, what do I do? And how do I handle this? And how do I... And God's like, yeah, as important that is to you, I promise I'm way more concerned, because I know the ramifications, all of them. He's like, it's so important to me that you make that decision. Now, if God cares, and it's important to God that we make the right decision, and we don't have the answer yet, and we feel like we've got this fire under us, how does all that line up? Wait. Most of those fires will go away. You know? And some of those fires being ignited are actually just to get you to say no faster. You know, I'll tell you this, if the Lord wants you, let's say it's a job change, okay? Let's say the situation, you know, comes upon you and it's like, you know, you got a situation, the offer's only open for the next 15 minutes, okay? You got 15 minutes to make a decision. No. Whoa, wait a minute, no, you got 15 minutes. Yeah, if I have to know the answer in 15 minutes, I would already know it from God right now. I mean, I don't have to be freaked out about the time frame. Just default no. I mean, unless you feel the Lord leading you, if you've got a time constraint, the Lord knows that. If the time constraint's real. I'll tell you what I found. Sometimes the time constraint was just a ploy of the enemy. And that really you got a lot more time to make that decision than the enemy, you know, allowed you to think you had. And you just go before the Lord and you say, Lord, if you want me to do this or not to do this, you better speak to me right now. Because they're telling me I need an answer in 15 minutes. If you don't speak to me, I'm not doing it. I'm not going through that door. An open door does not mean it's God. You might find an open door into a strip club. Don't go. I mean, it's like that concept of just going wherever there's an open door, that's bad counsel. Because the enemy can open a door. You can open a door. Your best friend can open a door. That doesn't mean it's God at all. So you got to make your decisions prayerfully, not based off of what doors are open and closed. Sometimes a door is closed and you're supposed to go bust that thing open and enter the gates of hell with a, you know, with a giant fire hose. But you don't know that unless you get a little bit of counsel from the Lord. So this whole concept of urgency, you got to make the decision, you got to make the decision. You know, most of the time you don't have to have the answer right now. And that's okay. You know, especially, you know, in our relationships and in changes and in moves and so many of those different things. You just give it just a little bit of time and ask the Lord. This check and balance system is an amazing help. When you start to line these things up and allow them to kind of check each other, well, you know, wow, well, biblical wisdom would say, don't do this. You know, man, the power of time, I gave this thing just a little bit of time and thought through it. And I just don't feel like that's the Lord. Next piece, godly counsel. You know, Jesus had a role in the lives of the 12 that he was leading. And that was a super safe place for them to be. Because if they had a question, not just about doctrine, if they had a question about life, they could go and they could ask Jesus. Like, Jesus, would you help me know how to make decisions about life? And it was good, it was helpful. Paul, in that role to Timothy. Timothy, questions about how to do things in life. He had godly counsel in his life. He knew Paul had his back. And so if he had questions, if he had things that he needed to bounce off somebody, ideas, if he wanted some instruction, he could go and he could get that from Paul, because Paul had that role in Timothy's life. The centurion was under authority. He was just talking about, you know, being a man under authority. He was in authority, but he was a man under authority, and he had that counsel above him. The elders, even to the apostles, you know, all the different churches in the New Testament, elders were appointed. But even those elders had spiritual authority in the apostles, and the apostles could then serve to then help those guys make decisions and help them to know what to do. And then even though the church is in submission and relationship to a spiritual authority of those elders were put into place as shepherds to help them and to encourage them and to help them make godly choices. If you can't tell, I am a big fan of a balanced spiritual authority in our life. I'm a man in authority and I'm under authority. I've got somebody in my life who, when I've got big decisions I need to make, I present them and I say, this is what I'm feeling like the Lord's doing. This is what I'm feeling like I'm saying. But if you tell me no, I'm not doing it. I need you to be the man of God in my life. I need you to speak. I need you to hear from God. And I need you to give me some counsel so that I don't make a big old dumb decision here. And it's so healthy. I want to tell you, it is so healthy for each and every one of you to have someone in your life who can tell you no. And it is so dangerous for you not to. I think you go outside the bounds of Scripture to not have a person in your life who can tell you, yeah, I don't think you should do that. You really need to steer clear of that. You really need to not do that one. That is so healthy. It's so helpful. It's so kind of God to keep us out of so many destructive decisions, to have that sort of counsel in our life. You need more than the opinion of your friends. You need somebody who's in a position, who's been given a position by you and by the Lord to have pastoral leadership in your life and to give counsel. Because you know what? God's actually going to honor that relationship and he'll speak to them in ways that'll shock you. I am blown away sometimes when I'll call my pastor and be like, hey, I got this situation. I think I'm going to have to give this long explanation. He's already got the word 10 words in. He's like, yeah, this is what you need. I didn't even explain the situation. That's perfect. How'd you know that? Because I've given him spiritual authority in my life. And God looks at that and says, Brad, you were in a bind. You didn't know what to do. You called your spiritual authority. I gave him the word for you. Like, that's how that's supposed to work. It's supposed to be healthy and helpful and mentory and fatherly and motherly. It's good. It's so good. And those of you who don't have that in your life, I want to encourage you, get that in your life today. It's one of the reasons we push small groups so much, because I know what it's like to be in that position and not really have anybody and be so like wondering about different things. It's so safe to have somebody in your life that's looking over your shoulder as a pastor figure. It's so safe. And it's, again, I see it as the counsel of Scripture. Their involvement in your life provides a covering and a protection to do you good. Their input may even seem restrictive sometimes, but you've got to trust that the Lord put that person in your life to help you, not to hurt you, to get you to the best place in God, not to call you back and to hinder you. You know, as I was talking with Pastor Adam, you know, maybe a year and a half ago about launching this church, I submitted the idea to him and I said, listen, I feel like this is what we're supposed to do, but I really want, you know, your help, and I want to submit the timing of this to you. And so as we talked about it, it turned out to be a year and a half later. Well, dude, I was antsy. I was ready to go a year and a half ago. You know, I feel like the Lord's leading. I've got the direction. It's time to start this church. I feel like it's time. And he says, you know, let's wait on this. I said, yes, sir, let's do it. It was so good. It was so wise of him. It was so much better for us as a community that we did it that way. But I thought I had the word of the Lord. I was all ready to go. I was ready to do this thing, but I submitted it to my spiritual leadership. And then I listened to his counsel. It was so good for all of us, I promise. What about when you've got a giant disagreement with your spiritual leadership? Because that's going to happen from time to time. I have got the most freeing thing for you. I promise. You're just going to love it. You'll hate it and then you'll love it. You feel like you got clear leading from the Lord, you know, like I did about the church. You feel like the Lord's speaking. You've gone through the checks and balance system, and you're like, yeah, well, it's a righteous decision. Yeah, I mean, this makes sense. It's good timing. Gone through biblical wisdom. My motives are good. I want to help people. You know, whatever. You've gone through the checks and balances, and you bring it before your spiritual leadership, and your spiritual leadership says, yeah, I really, really feel really strong that that's not what you're supposed to do. Well, And then you bring your case before me, like, well, let me one more time. Let me explain. This is what I'm thinking. This is what. Yeah, listen, bro, sis, I really feel really strong that that's not what you're supposed to do. Can I tell you what you do? You just submit. Now, I have learned a little trick that I've been on every side of, and I think that this is a super safeguard in the whole concept of checks and balances. You feel really strong. It's not one of those you kind of think it's a good idea and they say, yeah, don't do that. Just don't even question that. Just don't do it. But you're in a situation where you feel like you've really got the word of the Lord. You're like, I'm supposed to do this thing. And they're like, yeah, don't do that thing. And you feel real strong about it. I call it submit by ultimatum. Okay? Here's a little phrase that I've made up that I think is a very good safeguard that I've been on every side of. And that is the following phrase. I want you to know that I've really prayed about this decision. And I think I'm really supposed to do, fill in the blank. But I'm willing to do it your way only because you're my spiritual authority. Are you willing to own that? I'm sure you're wrong. I'm sure God's leading me this way. But I won't do it so long as you're willing to recognize the only reason I'm not going to do what I believe God's will is in my life is because you're telling me not to. Are you willing to own that? Can I have another day to pray about it? Yes, you can. That's really safe. You know what that does? One, it honors the heck out of your spiritual authority. You just said, I am sure this is God, but I'm willing to submit to your spiritual leadership, even though I disagree with it completely. I'm willing to submit to it, but I want you to understand, this is one of those rare moments where I really need you to really reconsider and really think about this. Now, I've been on every side of this because I've been teaching this idea for a decade now. And so as a result, I've had disciples bring this one back to me, you know, like, oh, snap, now I'm on this end of it. So I've been in the situation before where I brought it up and I said, listen, this is what you think I'm supposed to do. I really disagree. I really think I'm supposed to do this. If you're willing to own it, I'm willing to do it. And they said, yep, do it. Dang. All right. And I did it. And you know what? It was better for me. Second situation. I've been in that situation where I go, listen, I'm really sure about this. I know you're trying your best. I think you're wrong on this one. I'm willing to submit to what you're saying, but I need you to own it. And they go, yeah, no, if you feel that strong about it, you need to do it. Okay, good. And then I've been on the other side. Somebody comes to me and they said, I am sure this is God. And I'm like, you are wrong. That is not God. Don't do that. Well, no, yeah, I'm willing to own it. I'll own it before the throne upstairs. I'll own that one. Don't do that. And then times where they brought it up and I go, ooh, yeah, give me another day to pray on this. When I pray about it, I just really feel like, you know, I think they're supposed to do this, or I think I'm supposed to let them, or I think I need to get out of the way on this one, you know, even as a leader. I felt all those different things. This is such a safe place to be. Because what it allows for is it allows for God to lead everybody in the process. It allows for you to honor spiritual authority. It allows for spiritual authority to try to hear God for you, to be a covering, to be protected. This is so safe. And don't use that term on whether you're going to go to this restaurant or that restaurant for dinner. Okay? This is the big ones. All right? This is I think I'm supposed to marry this guy. Yeah, I got a real bad check about that one. You need to not do that. That is a terrible decision. No, I really feel like it's God. Yeah, I just want to tell you, I'm not going to stand with you on that one. That's a bad place to be. Do not do that. Don't. That's a bad plan. Oh, okay. I mean, wait for the big decisions. But I'll tell you what, that little phrase, are you willing to own it? That's a good one. It puts everybody in a safe place. I want to encourage you to, one, only use that card probably 3 times in your whole life, okay? All right? And two, let that be a safeguard for why it's okay to be able to submit to spiritual authority. And you know what? Submit yourself to a good spiritual authority. You know what I mean? Like, picking a spouse, don't pick a bad one. I mean, find somebody that you trust, find somebody that makes sense, but then don't quit on them because they decided to make a decision that you didn't really like, you know? Don't quit on them because you didn't like their counsel on one thing. Stick with them. Okay, good. I think I beat that one down into the ground. But I'm telling you, that one is the safest place to be when it comes to the big decisions as kind of the last of the safeguards or the checks and balances. Okay, so now the role of faith in making our decisions. Hebrews 10, if we can bring that up on the screen. Hebrews 10, 38 says this. It's a common theme throughout the Old Testament, common theme in the New Testament. It's one that you'll hear requoted in various ways. It says, my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I'll not be pleased with him. We see also in Romans that it's impossible to please God unless you have faith. This concept of living by faith, of making our decisions by faith, not just living, but living by faith. Faith that this is actually the plan that the Lord wants me to go. This is actually the direction he's leading. Faith that he's actually leading me this way. Faith that I can go, you know what? I think this is the decision that I'm supposed to make that the Lord wants me to make. That's what living by faith means. And it says that the righteous, that those that know God, those that love God, the redeemed, those that are a part of the church, those that hear the voice of the Lord, those that are saved, the righteous are supposed to live according to that strategy. We're not supposed to make our decisions like the lost world does. We're supposed to live by faith. You know what the coolest thing is? Oh my gosh, it feels so good. I just want to provoke you to jealousy with this. I can go to bed at night, having tried to do this for years now, and go, Lord, every decision that I can think of in my life right now, I got to by faith. I have this job. I live in this house. I have, you know, this wife. I'm living in this city. I'm doing this ministry. I'm doing these things because I felt your leadership in them. I've got faith that the decisions that I made, I'll tell you, you rest real easy on your pillow at night. Because after you've done it for a period of time, and you start to build a life, not one or two or three decisions, it takes a little bit of time to get this thing into a place where you can go, my life is ordered the way that the Lord ordered it. It is so freeing. It is the most peaceful place on the planet because you can just know I'm right where I need to be. And if I need to do something different, the Lord will tell me. I don't need to go make up a plan. I don't need to just go get something or make something happen or do something. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not moving one inch unless the Lord makes it really clear because I got to this place by faith. So healthy, so strong. So the righteous live by faith. Now let's do the flip side. Romans 14, if you pull that up on the board as well. Romans 14, 23. This is a passage in Romans 14 that is talking about all different manner of different areas where people's consciences were being seared. It's talking about, you know, decisions that they made about what to eat, what not to eat. And to give you just a little bit of grit on that, while we may not understand that totally, they were living in a culture where food on the street was being sacrificed to a demon. And right after it was being sacrificed to a demon, they'd sell it to you for $10. And they go, hey, do you want to eat the demon food? You like demon food, don't you? Eat the demon food. And everybody's like, I don't know. I just came to Christ. Do I eat the demon food? No, that's a demon's food. Like, I don't know. Well, if you're going to sell it to me for $5. No, I'm not going to eat the demon food. I mean, they were in this situation where there was a real conscience issue because yesterday they worshiped that demon. And now they came to Christ. And now they're this new creation and they're struggling. What do I do? Do I eat that kind of stuff? Do I not eat that kind of stuff? And Paul gives this brilliant teaching that's not about food. It's about life. And he says the following statement. The man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Everything. Well, there's the qualifier. We're not talking about food anymore. Everything. You're making a decision, and it's not a decision of faith. The Bible calls that sin. So it says the righteous live by faith. Then it actually says the opposite. If you're making your decisions outside of faith, that this is the direction that the Lord wants me to go, it's actually sin. Like, you need to repent and go, oh Lord, I'm sorry I just made that decision flippantly. I've had to do that time to time. Go, you know, Lord, I totally just made that decision. I didn't even ask you what you thought or wanted, or I had no idea. I actually didn't make that decision in faith at all. I just made that decision. It says that the Bible actually calls it sin. That to walk in righteousness means to live by faith. To walk in sin means just make decisions. You don't know what the Lord wants. You don't even care. Or you're not thinking about it. It's not coming to mind. Well, that's pretty important then, that we learn to make our decisions according to faith. All right, well, let's just get into some practical reality here, because I know sometimes you get into a decision, it's like, I don't know what God wants. If I knew, I'd do it. I know I've been talking to a lot of people lately that are just like, if I knew what the Lord wanted me to do here, I'd just do it. I don't have a clue. I don't have faith. I can't make a decision in faith. I have no idea what God wants me to do. Well, what do? First, determine if making the decision in the situation can possibly, under any set of circumstances, wait. Because if it can, wait. You'll get more clarity with time. Don't make that decision right now. If there's any way you can make that decision without, putting it on hold, if there's any way, ask them, can I have a little bit more time? How much time? Oh, a year? A week? I'll take a week. If you can wait. If you don't have any clarity, if you can't make that decision by faith, don't make that decision. The Bible says if you make that decision without faith, it's sin. I mean, I didn't make that up. Isn't that what Romans 14:23 says? It's sin. And if we'll treat it that way, listen, this isn't so we can get ourselves into sin. It's not like that Bible verse exists so that the Lord can go, ha ha, I got you. You made a bad decision. You didn't do that one in faith. Forget that. It's guidance from God. He's trying to help us not make dumb decisions. It's guidance from the Father to say, listen, if you can't make the decision in faith, I give you permission to not make it right now. Because you can't make it in faith, so don't make that decision. Don't do it. You know what? To not make a decision is often called a decision. But the default is to not make it. Not to make it. Stay where you are until the Lord leads you otherwise. Don't move. You can't make that decision in faith. And if you can't make that decision in faith, it's actually sin. Next piece. Go through the checks and balance systems when you're in that situation where you're not feeling any direction from the Lord, any clear leading. Look for where He may be leading through those. You know, you may find that you've really been focusing on, they're not up on the board anymore on the screen, but there were a bunch of those, you know, different checks and balances. You may find that one of them is one that you haven't really paid a lot of attention to. You've really been focusing on these other three or four. Well, maybe go and research just a little bit of where your heart's at in one of those. Is it godly counsel? You know, have you received, you know, biblical counsel? Like, what does the Word say about it? Have you gone and gotten godly counsel? Has, you know, does this just make sense to do it this way? Going through some of those checks and balances and start looking for where the Lord might be speaking, because most of the time, He's speaking. But He hides things that we'll search Him out, that we might know Him. The Lord often is giving us counsel, but He doesn't just lay it out on the table so that it's easy to find. He wants you to search it out. Search it out as hidden treasure. It says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. So let's be those that search it out. And I think a good place to search it out is those, you know, one, two, yeah, this stuff here. Thanks, Candy, for getting that back up there. Going through this stuff and searching it out. Well, is it a righteous decision? Good. Conventional wisdom? Man, is this just a bad idea, conventional wisdom-wise? Okay, well, then I'm not going to do it. I mean, just the Lord might be speaking through that somewhere. All right, parts, you guys don't have parts. I'm so used to doing the notes thing. So getting to faith, that's the key. When you're trying to make your decision, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get to a point where you can make the decision in faith. Not false, not made up, but real. You go, here's what faith is. Yeah, I think that's God. That's all you need. That's all you need. I think this is the direction the Lord wants me to go. That works. That's God. But don't fake yourself out. Don't just say it. Don't like say it out loud in the mirror until I'm good enough, I'm smart enough. I mean, don't just like say it out loud until you like, you know, believe it. Is get to a point where you can go, I really do think this is the direction the Lord's leading. You can get to faith 100 ways. The Lord may speak real clear. A Bible verse may jump out at you. Godly counsel may have given you the direction you needed. You can get to faith all different ways. But the crucial point is that you get there. so that when you make the decision, you can look anybody in the eye that you need to and go, I felt like this was the decision the Lord wanted me to make. Well, how did you get there? Well, I can take you on that journey. Lord, show me this. I did this. And da, 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 da. I want to tell you something. Even if you're wrong, the Lord honors decisions that are made by faith. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, this whole thing called faith is a little tricky. You're going to make some wrong decisions and think it was God. And while you may have some consequences on the earth you have to deal with, you get a giant thumbs up from heaven. You made that decision in faith. You went through the checks and balances. You did what you could. You came to the decision. You felt like this was the decision that I wanted you to make. Good job, son or daughter. Good job. Well, yeah, but it really didn't turn out good. Well, sometimes my plans for you don't turn out the way you think they're going to. Well, but it became clear later that this really wasn't what you wanted me to do. Yeah, but you thought it was, and that's good enough for me. Yes, and that's part of the checks and balance system. And it's why we want to have all these pieces of counsel in our lives and have people that can help us. Because I'll tell you what, if you've got a plethora of counsel to help you and to encourage you, you'll wind up in a much better spot in these decision makings. And you'll make a lot less dumb decisions. It's just a safe spot to be. You want to get to faith. That is the key. And here's the issue, guys. And I want to encourage you. And this is going to be, the only thing that you guys might stone me over. If you can't make that decision in faith, don't make it. Just let the opportunity pass you by. It's okay. Because here's the thing. The Lord has a plan for you. And if you're in all honesty, think about this. The Lord has yet to deny a humble and contrite heart. Never once has He. So you're humble and you're contrite. Lord, I want what you want. I think this is the direction you want me to go. Or I don't know. I don't hear you saying anything. It's totally quiet right now. I have no idea what you want me to do. And the decision is coming and it's about to go. The opportunity is about to pass you by. Lord, if you want me to do this, I just need you to get me to faith somehow. And the opportunity comes and goes. And God's mad at you. I can't believe you let that opportunity pass you by. Whatever. That's not God. If God wanted you to do that thing, He could have told you 10 ways. Just let it pass you by. Don't make the decision. It's not that big a deal. I'll tell you what, the Lord honors faith. He says, if you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. Do you think that opportunity can't be reproduced again, even bigger tomorrow by God? Like whatever the opportunity. Well, but this job. Yeah, if you don't feel the Lord in it, don't do it. And your act of faith, the Lord will actually probably wind up giving you even a better situation just a little bit down the road because you took a step of faith. I want to encourage you, if you can't make the decision in faith, don't make it. I've lived this way for a long time now, and it's the safest place. It is so refreshing. It's so joyful because I don't have to wonder. I just go, you know what, those missed opportunities, the Lord wasn't in them. It's okay. You know, people offer me stuff sometimes that I'm just like, wow, that'd be awesome. That'd be really cool. I really want to do that. And I'm just like, I don't feel you in this at all. I'm not going to just go do that because it's an opportunity. Just let it pass you by. If you can't make the decision in faith, and again, you can get to faith a lot of different ways. All right, ways to discern the Lord's leading. Give you some little practical things here. Discerning whose voice is speaking. So you're at a point where you're sitting before the Lord, you're trying to make the decision. You know, it's about, I don't know, taking a job. Okay, that's one that'll probably happen to all of us in the room a couple times. All right, you're considering, you know, taking a job. And you're like, Lord, do I take this job? I'll just give you an oversimplification of trying to hear the Lord's voice. This is something I used to do when I first came to know the Lord, and it's the easiest way to get a starting point on trying to discern God's will. Easiest way. So you don't have to be great at hearing God's will. You just go with this real simple starter point. That is, oversimplification, there are three sources who might be speaking. The Lord, the devil, and you. There's not fourth. The Lord, the devil, and you. Now, the Lord might be speaking through godly counsel, might be speaking through the Word, might be speaking in your spirit. He might speak a lot of different ways. The enemy, he might be speaking through a friend. He might be speaking through a bumper sticker. I mean, you don't know. I mean, the enemy can speak a lot of different ways too. Speaking through a heightened emotion. And then you might be speaking. You might hear, you know, a voice in your head that's saying, do it, do it. And it might just be overzealous you. There's really, if you just simplify it, there's three sources. Now, here's the easiest way that I have found in kind of a starting point of trying to discern who's talking. First, recognize that in every situation, your voice is in there. You're you. You carry you around everywhere you go. I promise you, you're talking. So in every situation, you have a thought on it. You know, I mean, you're in the situation, it's like, do I take the job? Well, yeah, I'd like to take the job because the job would give me more money to do such and such. Great. Throw out your thoughts. Extract your decision, extract your input, extract your voice, and totally throw it away. Refuse to do it. I'm not doing what I want. Throw it out. It's no longer your life. It's not you who live anymore. It's Christ who lives in you. So extract your thought. Throw it away. Now, you've only got two options left, and sometimes one of them's not speaking. A voice of darkness or the Holy Spirit. Well, see what's left in there after you've extracted your decision. Go, you know, I really want to do this. Okay, I'm not going to do that. What else? You know, I really still feel peace about doing that. I really feel like I'm supposed to do that. Great. It's the Lord. Do it. You're like, you know, the enemy's like, you know, just every time the enemy speaks, here's some telltales. It's condemning. It's confusing. It's accusational. The enemy comes trying to confuse your life, mess up your life, distort your life, distract you from the things that you know are important in your life. And so if you're getting counsel, if you're just as you're kind of trying to process, what's the voice of the Lord? And you're hearing things that are like, yeah, do this. And you know that that decision is going to wind up totally jacking up all the different things that the Lord has already set in place, already doing in your life. It's probably the voice of the enemy. Because the enemy comes, first he wants to get you to totally live sinful. But if he can't get you to do stupid stuff, he's going to try to deter you from the plan. Get you in a job you're not supposed to be in. Get you in a city you're not supposed to be in. Get you in a relationship you're not supposed to be in. Get you whatever. If he can't mess with your morality, he wants to mess with just your life decisions. And so it's confusing. And one of the ways that we can learn the counsel of the Lord is the Lord has a desire for us. And again, going through that check and balance system, you're just going to learn just a lot. I've found that by even just in the early days of just walking, you know, with the Lord, I can remember being 18, 19 and trying to, you know, work through this, never having anybody teach me on how to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm just going, I know you speak. I just don't know what you're saying. I could recognize in every situation that I had a desire in the situation. There was something I wanted to do. And I would just remove that. And many times I would find that what was left was the same decision, but I could feel the Lord on it. I go, man, that's your voice. I was speaking the same thing you were speaking, but I'm not going to do what I want. I'm going to do what you want, even though it's the same thing. I'll tell you, you'll find yourself in a safe place by taking your desire out of the situation, because remember the whole heart, the emotions of the heart, it's unruly. Take yourself out of it and go, Lord, what's left? You know, well, that can really help you make some decisions. The next piece of determining the Lord's leading, your default response is to do whatever it is you were doing yesterday. It's the simplest thing. You know, people will ask me sometimes, they'll say, well, I really made this reckless decision. I took this thing that I wasn't supposed to do. I did this thing I wasn't supposed to sign up for. Okay. Should I now undo it? No, stay exactly where you are until the Lord gives you clear direction. Well, but I took the job and I wasn't supposed to take the job. Too late. You did it. You're there. Stay there. Don't make the same mistake you made a week ago. Don't make it again now. Stay put until the Lord gives you clear direction, and then let the Lord give you clear direction. And if the Lord wants you to quit that job or move to that thing or do that whatever, He'll lead you. The default response is stop making decisions. Don't make it any worse. Just like slow down, let the Holy Spirit catch up, get in your life, get your bearing again and go, okay, well now I submit again. My life is yours again. Even though I made a couple little detours, now what do you want me to do? You know what I've found? The Lord, He's crazy. He's got this way about Him where He redeems even our terrible decisions. I've had the Lord tell me clearly, your plan B that you went on alternate route just became the new plan A. Oh my gosh, that's terrifying. Can we just go back? I had that happen to me in the most powerful way when I made a giant decision about my life and I didn't really know what the Lord wanted me to do. I really couldn't get my bearing on it. I just made the decision because it seemed like a good idea. It looked, you know, good. It looked like it was going to benefit me. And I heard the Lord speak so clearly to me, you made the wrong decision, because I didn't make it in faith. You made the wrong decision. I was like, okay, well, I'll undo it. I'll quit the thing. I'll go back to doing the thing. The Lord said, nope, don't you move one step. I said, well, what do? I totally like abandoned the plan that you had for me. He says, I will redeem this. I'll work this out. Don't make another decision and just uproot and quit the new thing. Stay where you're at. Do whatever it is you were doing yesterday until the Lord gives you new direction. He loves you. He wants you on his plan. He will give you new direction. He'll lead you. He'll instruct you. Until he does, just stay put. Yeah, but it hurts. It's painful. Yeah, that's probably good for you. Well, but I'm confused. I don't know. Yeah, just wait. He'll speak. Well, I've been waiting for this long. Yeah, the Lord really, yeah, a day is like 1,000 years to him. It's like, it's no big deal. Just stay put. Don't move. The default way to live our lives as believers is do what you did yesterday until the Lord gives you clear direction to do something different. Life, direction, decisions, jobs, ministry involvement, whatever. Do what you were doing yesterday until the Lord gives you clear direction. And for the love of all good things, ask him for clear direction all the time. Lord, lead me, help me, help me, help me, help me. I imagine when I get up to the big screen and get to see the majority of my intercessory prayers, it's that. It's the Lord looking down at this like hyperactive, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. There have been times when I've been journaling and I went back and I looked at it and I was like, oh, I hope nobody sees this. Because it just says, help me. And then I say a little statement, I say, help me. And I say, help me, help me. I'm like, 75% of the content of this prayer is help me, help me, help me. I'm like, hyperactive. But you know what? That's a posture that the Lord, he responds to. A humble and contrite heart he is yet to deny. A spazzy self-decision-making heart, the Lord can't even help. Because you've already decided, I'm just going to do whatever I want. Just wait. I know sometimes it's so painful to wait. Just wait. Your default response is stop. Wait. Listen. And then as he speaks, as he gives you faith, and again, faith can come from a number of directions, then take the step of faith based off of his leading and not according to circumstance or whatever else. All right, ways that to determine the Lord's leading. We're wrapping up here. Sometimes you're just sure. You know, Acts 15:28 says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to do such and such. You know, sometimes you're just like, I just think this is God. It just seems like this is the Lord. Can you make the decision in faith? Yeah, I feel like this is God. Awesome. Do it. That's great. Go through the checks and balance system, but that's great. Sometimes you just feel a leading in your spirit. A couple of Bible verses I want to give you out of Romans. Romans 9:1 says this. This is Paul, and again, I'm deriving a principle from Paul's teaching here. Paul's just like spouting off. Do you know how many times really, really wise people say really wise things what they weren't intending? They're just talking about life. Yeah, Paul. Romans 9:1. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. You know what this means? This means that when you came to Christ, your conscience was already there. But now your conscience, the Holy Spirit's like wrapped around your conscience. Whereas before you couldn't trust your conscience, not entirely. Now, the fact that the Holy Spirit's dwelling in your conscience, if you get a peace in your heart, you're like, Paul says it this way. I just said something. You know what? I know that's true. How do you know, Paul? Because I got it in my conscience. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness. That's truth. You're just feeling it. You're like, man, my conscience just knows this is the right decision. Maybe it's a morality thing. Maybe it's a decision thing. You just feel something in your spirit. I just know this is the right direction. Sometimes the opposite. Romans 2:15. Their conscience is also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, even defending them. This is talking about the conscience bearing witness in your heart. This is not the right decision. Don't do this decision. This is not God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And it's the Holy Spirit in your conscience that you can trust and go, yeah, I don't know why I'm not supposed to do that. I've been in some weird situations before where it really looked I was supposed to do this thing. Everything was pointing this direction. And I just felt the Holy Spirit just in me. I was like, I just got to check in my heart. I just don't think I'm supposed to do that. I can't make that decision in faith. Yeah, but it's going to help us in this way. It's going to do this. Yeah, sorry. I'm going to be on the line for that one. I just got something in my heart. I feel like this, just in my spirit, I just don't feel good about that. I just can't do that one. Sometimes the opposite. I feel like that's the Lord. Well, that's kind of crazy. Yeah, let's do it. I feel like it's the Lord. I just got something in my heart. You guys, those leadings, that's the Lord. That's very helpful. Getting to faith. You know, anxiety in your spirit. Paul tells us this in Philippians. We're to be anxious about nothing. Ever. Never, not once, never to be anxious. If you've got anxiety, that's not God. Don't take the anxiety as, oh, this must be the Lord warning me. No, that's actually the devil stirring up anxiety in you because anxiety is a sin. Don't do that. Well, but I'm all anxious about the decision. That means nothing about whether it's right or wrong. That means nothing, because the Bible says be anxious about zero. So you're actually operating out of the enemy's attacking you, causing you to be anxious. Work out the anxiety, then make the decision. Anxiety is not a way to determine God's plan or not, because we're to be anxious about zero. Nothing, ever. You know, sometimes, and I just want to point this out, we'll end with this. Sometimes, especially in this community, which it's so much fun to be able to say this and like mean it, you guys get dreams and prophetic words and clarity from the Lord that's crazy to me. I mean, growing up and being in the Baptist church that I was in back in Louisville, and then being a part of a church, you know, here in Arlington, I was just like, I'd never seen anything like this before. You guys get leadership from heaven in the most powerful, crazy ways. That is awesome. Don't make your decision based off of them. Huh? Yeah, don't make your decision based off of a dream. Don't make your decision off of a prophetic word. Don't make your decision off of, well, this really cool thing happened. Awesome. What all of those things are supposed to do is cause you to, with intentionality, go before the Lord and talk to Him about what He wants you to do. When you get a dream, do not make a decision based off the dream. The dream is supposed to do one of two things. When you get a dream or a clear prophetic word, it's supposed to do one of two things. It's either to confirm that which was already in your heart. You already thought you were supposed to do this. I'm feeling about this. I really think I'm supposed to do this. Nobody on the planet knows I'm thinking about this. And then somebody comes and tells me their dream. I had a dream the other night that you did this. Oh my gosh. You did? Whoa. Well, that's cool. I'm going to make the decision that was already in my heart that the dream just confirmed. The opposite role. You don't have it in your heart at all. It's not a thought in your mind. You have a dream. Somebody has a dream. Somebody has a prophetic word. And they place something before you. You're supposed to do this thing. Great. I'm not doing that thing. Lord, am I supposed to do that thing? You start to have some dialogue with the Lord, and now the Lord either confirms or denies the prophetic word that you got. You are still responsible to make the decision. Don't put it on the dream. Don't put it on the person gave you a prophetic word. Don't put it on those things. You need to make the decision, and what the prophetic is supposed to do is act as a confirmation element, one way or the other. It's either to confirm that which was already in your heart, or to put something in your heart that then the Lord is going to confirm. One way or the other, that's how we make our decisions. So I hope this is helpful. We got a lot of decisions to make around here, a lot of things we need to do. If you feel like you made some good decisions, made some bad decisions, you got some decisions to make, just stay put. Default is halt, wait, get direction from the Lord, make the decision in faith. Father, I just want to ask you to pour out revelation on this congregation, God, on these people. Give them clarity about how to make their decisions. I pray in Jesus' name that you would empower, God, everybody who's here today and the rest of those that are part of Forerunner Fellowship to make godly decisions with wise counsel, balanced decisions. And I pray, Father, to know how to carry their heart throughout the process, to not wig out when it seems like they're going to miss an opportunity, to be anxious in nothing ever, but instead to wait for your leading and to be able to make the decision in faith. Father, we thank you for this incredible journey that you've given us called walking in faith. Lord, lead each one of us and help us in our decisions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.